Director LeGros?
Here.
Director Simonson?
Here.
Vice President Hensley?
Here.
President Gustafson?
Here. And as has been our custom, we're going to take another short recess just to allow everybody to fill out speaker cards for the next period that comes up, which is public comments for items not on the agenda. So at this time, we're going to go into a five-minute recess. So please, if you want to make public comment, please fill out a speaker card. Thank you. A public comment slip, please get it in. Yeah, just give them to Karen.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to start the public comment section of the agenda for those items that are not on the agenda. The first speaker will be John Perkins, followed by Lisa Schicker, followed by Bo Cooper.
Chairman, members of the board, audience here in the hall and audience at home, guess what? I'm not going to talk about sewer. There's enough of that. I'm going to remind everybody that the second Saturday is coming up, the 11th of September. Audubon has a volunteer work party every second Saturday of the month, and I'm inviting everybody here in the audience and everybody at home to come on out and give us a hand. We have no paid staff out there, and all of the work at Sweet Springs, the nature preserve, not the bar, is done by volunteers. And I'm asking everybody to come out and give us a hand. As a matter of fact, we just got a new 450-gallon water tank and a new water pump, so we're going to be able to make it easy to water our plants. We won't have to carry buckets around anymore. So I'm inviting everybody to come out and give us a hand on the second Saturday. That's the 11th of September at 9 o'clock. We'll keep you for 3 hours, 9 to 12. And bring a birding guide and a pair of binoculars. We'll do some birding afterwards.
I'm out in the public and hopefully answering your questions if you have any for me. And I want to thank you for this chance to speak. I have a little something for you tonight. And it kind of comes from the Los Osos Technical Task Force. It's a gift and an offering. And it's called Change. A bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. And I'm going to give this to Stan for all of the board. And it's coming from the task force with sincere earnesty, and we're hoping very much that we can work together in the future, and we're looking forward to the changes that we hope that you'll be willing to make. We're willing to work with you. We just see the need for change, and we're hoping that you're willing as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. I'll accept this for the CSD, and we'll put it in the office. And thank you. Bo Cooper, followed by Lacey Cooper, followed by Steve Sawyer.
I'm in here somewhere. Yeah. Bo Cooper, Los Osos. Couple of the citizen heroes I was talking about the other day, Lisa Schicker and Julie Tacker. They'll be running for CSD board in November. And I want to advocate very, very strongly for them. Anybody who knows me out in the community, anybody who's interested in fair play and people making progress, you've heard them talk. They're very intelligent women. They're wise women in terms of community good. They've both been community activists, and I would really appreciate that people consider their candidacy when the time comes to vote. I want to thank you, Stan, for making public comment at the very beginning. It's been really useful to me. Thank you very much for doing that. I am still, it's almost a rerun of last time. I'm just deeply, 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 deeply dismayed. I mean, it hurts my heart. It hurts my belly. It just hurts me the way things are going. The content we all know, all I could do is share the emotion of dismay and hurt about what's going on. I'll make it a plea again for money, as I did last week, for anybody who wants to, who thinks it's as bad a project as I do. It's not at all over yet, but money is definitely an issue. Send money. If you want to help change the sewer project that's going on now, you just need to do that. Okay. So, again, the address is CCLO, P.O. Box 6782, Los Osos, 93412. CCLO, P.O. Box 6782, Los Osos, 93412. The website being cclososos.com for more alternative understanding of what's going on. I think the current board has failed us dearly. I think the general manager has failed us oh so dearly. And I request, please, people at home, who, if you agree with the opposition, and they're good people, they're knowledgeable people, please consider voting for them. Please consider sending money. And again, I'm sorry, the board has not done its job, and Richard LeGros, especially you, I think you've done least of all. Thank you.
Lacey Cooper, followed by Steve Sawyer, followed by James T. Cash.
Lacey Cooper, Los Osos owners in the spring of 2001. And my question is, I thought that we had taken out the full $20 million bond, and if I'm incorrect, I'd like to know the answer. So we didn't. Okay, I saw a head shake from Mr. Buell, but I'd like to get a verbal, you know, I want to find out what that's about and if there's a cap. Is there a $20 million cap on that bond? You can't just keep issuing bonds, I hope. Did you want to answer that now?
No, go ahead and finish your okay. public comment. We'll answer it then.
Okay, and then the other thing is on the news tonight, Tony Coppola on the Channel 5 News said the opposition was blamed for the rise in the $5.6 million increase in cost of the sewer. And I just want to remind people that you can't, the people or the opposition are people who didn't want the sewer in the middle of town. Okay, they're voters, and they wanted it moved. So they were exercising their democratic right. And we didn't vote on the location, although people on the board keep saying we did. And even if you knew it was in the middle of town, you said, yes, I'm voting for the location in my head, and I'm voting for the bond. People thought it was a buried plant, which is now a 38-foot tall plant. We didn't ask for the amenities, the amphitheater, and the additional parking lot. That was the Coastal Commission who decided to do that. I guess they figured that showed they were doing their job, although they weren't listening to the opposition, because the opposition didn't want any amenities at a sewer factory. They just wanted it moved out of town, you know, and hopefully bring the cost down. And I just want to say that this sets up a, I don't know who said that to Tony Coppola about blaming the opposition, but I feel that that's political rather than what we're here for. It's political because I think it's setting up, hey, don't vote for people who have a different point of view who want to move the sewer out of town come November, because they're the ones who cost you all the money, which isn't true. So please send money to CCLO and help them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Cooper. Mr. Buell, there are two questions in there. There will be another comment relative to the newspaper article, so if you could answer the question relative to the assessment vote and the bond amount and the amount that has not been issued but that had been approved.
Thank you, Mr. President. The property owners in June 2001, by an 85.7% margin, approved $24 million of bonds. We have $2.45 million left on that authorization. I will be bringing that back to your board either later this year or next year.
24 million.
So that's the cap that you're talking about is, uh-huh. is what was actually voted on back in June of 2001. Okay. Steve Sawyer will be next, followed by Jim T. Cash and Gail McPherson.
Steve Sawyer, I live in Los Osos. I just want to talk a little bit tonight about these speaker cards that you are enforcing at this point. I just want to remind Mr. Gustafson that when you instituted the speaker card system in the meeting, you start the meeting and immediately go into a recess. If you weren't so strict on the rules, you wouldn't need the recess, because once public comment started, there would be plenty of time for people to fill their cards out and turn them in during this public comment period. So it's a little ridiculous. You go right into a recess and you're enforcing this silly rule. It's just ridiculous. It keeps getting more restrictive as time passes. You weren't going to use the cards other than to group people together by topic. That was the whole purpose in filling out the cards. And that's what you told us during a meeting on television. So we saw after that you started grouping people for political reasons. You wanted to make sure that your supporters had the first and the last word. We saw that on numerous occasions. Now you're using it just to limit people from talking. There's people that can't be here at 7 o'clock. If they're late, are you going to let them talk? If they get here during the public comment period, are you going to let them speak? So please address that. And what about the people that don't think they have anything to say? And then they hear some comments or some answers or something addressed by the board or by a community member halfway through public comment period, and they decide, you know what, I do have something to say tonight, and they want to turn in a card. What are you going to do about that situation? Those are all valid reasons to allow us to speak. Under the Brown Act, under the law, we're entitled to do so, and you are restricting those rights to the community with your silly rules and your silly speaker cards.
Mr. Seitz, would you address the Brown Act and public comment and with the purposes? And are we within the Brown Act relative to the way we're handling the speaker cards?
Just take you a second.
What I might do is go on to Mr. T.
Well,
Cash.
I think I have okay. the section. For those that follow the Brown Act, I'm reading from Government Code Section 54954.3B that says the legislative body of a local agency may adopt reasonable regulations to ensure that the intent of subdivision A is carried out, including but not limited to regulations limiting the total amount of time allocation for public testimony on particular issues and for each individual speaker. You know, most of the agents, and I'm just talking to the public, use speaker cards. In fact, as I recollect, we began using speaker cards at the request of the public. It was not a rule made by the board, but my recollection, that could be foggy, was that it was a response to the public asking to use speaker cards for it. And most of the agencies that I represent or I attend on behalf of clients use speaker cards. My view is that the use of speaker cards is clearly within the parameters of the Brown Act. You know, and I guess I need to address the second part of that. You know, I have, and maybe my interpretation is different, but I have not seen the chair deny somebody the ability to speak, and maybe I'm wrong here, but... Well, first of all, I appreciate the... I think if you came to the speaker, you use speaker cards.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Mr. T. Cash, followed by Gail McPherson, followed by Sylvia Neller.
James T. Cash, Los Osos. Part of that question was if speakers will be allowed to submit speaker cards during or after public comment has started. I was a little upset today with the headline in the Telegram Tribune. Sewer costs $5.6 million more. If you read down in the text here, it says $4 million of that's estimated. Local officials blame the increase on delays they say were caused by the project opponents. I was wondering if we could have identified who those local officials were. I'd like to know how they could blame the project opponents. whose decision was it to build a plant in the middle of town on environmentally sensitive habitat when an environmentally preferred site was identified out of town that wouldn't have had the mitigation required for the downtown site? That was a Los Osos CSD. Who picked the site and started negotiations for purchase prior to completing the environmental document? That was the Los Osos CSD. Who caused there to be a statement of overriding consideration, which is required when you build on an environmentally sensitive habitat, to allow you to build there? That was the Los Osos CSD. The overriding considerations were the community amenities that were have been mentioned in the past as being the reason for building in the downtown site. The community wanted parks, et cetera. That was the Los Osos, the building on the downtown environmentally sensitive habitat caused there to be the statement of overriding considerations. Who took these amenities out of the project at a later date? That was the Los Osos CSD. What was the cause for the 76 conditions, which I think were issued a year or two ago by the county for the coastal development permit, and the subsequent seven additional conditions required by the Coastal Commission? Well, that was the Los Osos CSD due to their decision to build on environmentally sensitive habitat when an environmentally preferred out-of-town site was available. I'd just like to know how the local officials can say the cross was increase was due to by project opponents when it was clear the decisions made by the Los Osos CSD. I would like to know when the Los Osos CSD, or if or when the Los Osos CSD, will take responsibility for any of these decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the second slip that I had relative to the article, and there don't appear to be any more addressing that. So, Mr. Buell, if you want to comment on both Mrs. Cooper's as well as Mr. T. Cash's comments.
Thank you, Mr. President. I did indeed talk to the press. I did not talk to a Tony Propola. I don't remember ever talking to that individual. I did talk to Lindsay Christians earlier this week. I did indicate that the project had been delayed. We now expect, instead of breaking ground in July of 2004, it'll be late spring of 2005, assuming there's no additional litigation. I did look up the engineering news record and the cost of delay, and it does translate to over $4 million. Currently, the inflation rate, according to the engineering news supervisors, and it was appealed, that went to the Coastal Commission, and the commission, for their various reasons, decided to hold the de novo hearing that was held in August of this year. And on a 7-1 vote, the Coastal Commission approved the district's proposed project. Of the conditions, most of those are very similar to what the County of San Luis Obispo adopted. I can only conclude that we are now building a project about a year later, a very similar project. The treatment facility is in the same location. The Commission made some discretionary decisions on their action, but they're very similar to what the county had previously approved. So the project will be more expensive. I can't help but believe that's a result of the various appeals that were filed on the project.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Gail McPherson, followed by Sylvia Neller, followed by Al Barrow.
Good evening, board and staff.
Can you pull the mic? Kind of. There you go.
Okay. It's going to fall. Okay, I think I have it. Sorry. That's right. Well, at first I wanted to say thank you to Stan for bringing by some voter absentee ballot registration forms. Sometimes I'm out of town, so it does help. And I recommend everybody, if you aren't going to be voting in town at the polls, to make this move and get your absentee ballot sent to you. Speaking about the vote, it was brought up that in 2000 there was an assessment vote. And I was just reviewing a document that has to do with the frequently asked questions about that The main one I have is this map on the back. This is the area that the assessment vote took into account. I didn't get to vote, and this has nothing to do with whether I went to the polls or not, and neither did my neighbors. And for something that affects my community and my neighbors, and ultimately probably myself and my bank account, I would like to have a say. I would like to have a vote. I would like to be able to say yes or no to what's going to affect so many people. And there are hundreds of people that did not get to vote. And no matter how you slice the assessment vote and how it was distributed and weighted, I got zero. And I don't think that that's democratic. And I'm just here to exercise my democratic rights and ask that those be respected. And I'm speaking for my neighborhood as well. Thank you.
Mr. Buell, Mrs. McPherson, I think, lives on Peshaw Valley Road, and I don't believe was in the prohibition zone and didn't have an assessment.
That's correct. The structure of the property owner vote in 2001 was that those that were asked to pay for the project were those that voted on the project.
And, in fact, bond council would not allow anyone who was not going to drive a benefit participate in the vote.
That is correct.
Thank you.
You know, I love the polls and the strings. And those of you who know me will understand if I tell you that I would like to wrap the polls in beautiful material and string feathers and glass beads and shells on strings, and I would call it Dance of the Valley Spirit. And I love fantasy. I live in reality, and I don't know what kind of a dance it is out there. It might be the one. I don't know whether it's more helpful or more harmful. That's the question that I'm asking, not whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, but whether it's more helpful to have it there or more harmful. I was doing face painting for children at Family Fest, and a father came by and had me do his daughter. He's about 8 years old. And I asked him if he would like to write a little letter, you know, to get some money from the government. And he looked at me with a chilling seriousness in his eyes and said, "I can't get involved. I have too many friends on both sides." Did they draw straws? You know, some get to vote one way and some get to have thoughts on the other side, but he was so important to them that he couldn't voice an opinion, couldn't think, couldn't read, couldn't get involved in any way. Not only did he muffle his own voice, but he muffled his child's voice who stood there and heard it. And when you don't get involved and when you don't say anything, people don't trust you. And if they don't trust you, they don't respect you. And if they don't respect you, they don't love you. Not friendship. And people that don't speak up are sneaky. And they're passive-aggressive. And they're really lonely. And if you speak up, whether it's right or wrong, you know, get involved. You'll respect yourself in the morning.
Thank you, Sylvia. Al Barrow, followed by Doug Lee, followed by Carolyn Lee.
My name is Al Barrow, and I live in Los Osos. I'm co-founder of CASE, Citizens for Affordable and Safe Environment. We've opposed this sewer for a number of reasons, environmental reasons, financial reasons, social impact reasons. I have a sign that, if you would be kind enough to show, that shows that our alternative project that was put together by qualified engineering firms would save $80 million. Would you please shoot on that, please? $80 million is a lot of money to throw away. And I know that the people on the Wastewater Committee that are moving forward, and including Mr. Motion Director Richard LeGros, who's made many motions to move the sewer project, and I've witnessed those, 65% of them wanted to recall the board. $80 million is a lot of money to waste. A lot of people who live in this town are on fixed incomes. Stan, you wrote to the governor you long time ago, 5 years ago, said, oh, we've got all these poor people. But yet you are presenting and pushing for what would be about a $115 million project if you include the on-site cost. The project that Case has proposed is a $35 million project, including collection, treatment, disposal, and individual property owner cost. $35 million from $150 million is $80 million, if I'm still adding correctly. So I'm really concerned that you have not really taken a look. If you look at table 4-4 of the project report, and when I made a public records request to Bruce Buell on the cost of the individual cost of the portions of the project, she said, well, you have to refer back to 2001. We don't have anything later than that. That's disturbing to me. We asked what the septage element would cost, and we couldn't get an answer to that. Our project does not have a sludge problem, and the sludge issue in that whole section of the plant is not defined. Anyway, $80 million is too much to waste.
Doug Lee, followed by Carolyn Lee, followed by Julie Tacker.
Doug Lee, Los Osos. I'd like to respond to a comment you made at the last meeting at a time when the public couldn't refute it. You had Bruce Buell recite the statistics of the assessment vote as if the 85% in favor of it were an overwhelming mandate. What he conveniently omitted was the fact that 36% of the yes votes were from 38 landowners. Six landowners were given 752 votes, and 38 landowners, including the six, were given a total of 1,126 votes. The rest of us only got one vote. Some of these 38 landowners own undeveloped properties who are not immediately subject to the assessments, one-time costs, or monthly costs until they develop their properties. They did have to start paying a small cost in 2003. So over one-third of the yes votes came from persons or companies that were voting to impose fees on other persons other than themselves. Sure, you'll spin it by saying it was a legal vote. Maybe it was, but it certainly wasn't fair or just. Of the remaining yes votes, how many were from people who bought into the scare tactics and propaganda campaign waged to intimidate us into voting yes? The vote yes on the sewer committee, comprised mostly of people poised to profit from the sewer project, inundated us with mailings claiming the RWQCB mandated a sewer, which is a lie, will be fined $10,000 a day if we don't build a sewer, another lie, we'll lose our grant money, another lie, and so on and so on. Knowing what we know now, if there were another assessment vote, what do you think the outcome would be? We're all pretty sure what it would be, and that must be why you were unwilling to have a vote to see how the public feels about building a sewer in the middle of. You don't like being criticized for your actions, and you don't serve the community. The more resistance to the project you meet, the more determined you are to build it, all of which is a poor and pathetic substitute for leadership.
Mr. Buell, this has come up before several times, and relative to the weighted versus unweighted vote and the definition of it, the implication of the last speaker's comments were that the large landowners in town seemingly all voted in favor of it, which I know not to be the case. Because, in fact, if you go through the numbers on the weighted versus the unweighted vote, they're very, very close. And there would be no way that if all of the large landowners voted in concert that the weighted versus unweighted vote would be this close in actuality the way it turned out. Mr. Buell, would you give the numbers of the weighted versus unweighted and what the two terms mean?
I gave the number earlier, 85.7%. That is the weighted count. That is, if you take the dollars in favor of the assessment vote as opposed to the dollars represented in opposition to the assessment vote. That's the dollars that people would pay over the life of the assessment issue. That was 85.7% in favor, and the balance was opposed. The raw vote, if you take literally each ballot and you put a stack of ballots here and a stack of ballots here, the raw vote on one parcel, one vote, was 84.3% in favor of the project, and the balance was opposed. So there was some influence of the weighting. It was 1.4% greater when you looked at the weighted vote. But in any case, both votes, the raw vote and the weighted vote, were heavily in favor of forming the assessment district. And I do have the engineer's report on the assessment district. This was published, and this was available to the property owners in the vote. It clearly shows the purchase of the Tri-W property, the hybrid treatment facility at the Tri-W property, and aesthetic mitigation at the Tri-W property as principal uses of the funding to be generated by the assessment.
Perhaps you might make that available for Mr. Lee to look at. Carolyn Lee, followed by Julie Tacker, followed by Keith Swanson.
Carolyn Lee, Los Osos. In June, Case sponsored a town meeting where Nelson Environmental made a presentation of their ponding system to treat sewage. I've been extremely busy this summer and have had a hard time keeping up with these meetings. I don't know if anything was said about the presentation or if Bruce Buell spun it and told us why it wouldn't work in Los Osos. I would like to know if you are considering that alternative to our wastewater woes. To summarize, Nelson Environmental has 35 years of wastewater design and has built 130 ponding projects in this country, Canada, and Mexico. They are a firm of engineers, scientists, and technicians, and their projects are in compliance with Coastal Commission and RWQCB regulations. Best of all, there is no sludge to deal with. The operating cut. You promised us a faster, better, cheaper solution, and this appears to be it. You have a rare opportunity to do something great for this community, and so far you haven't been up to the task. This is your last chance. Don't blow it.
Mr. Miller, do you have any comments relative to Nelson Engineering?
Thank you, Mr. President. And I would be happy if the board wants to have more of detail in the future. I didn't bring any prepared materials. Our office has been involved in a number of different pond systems over time. We continue to be involved in those types of systems. I am familiar with some of the specifics of what was being proposed at the meeting. From my perspective, I know the speaker mentioned the state revolving fund loan. I know one of the biggest hurdles in 2000 to the ponding system that the board was proposing at the time was with respect to the removal of nitrates and the state board's desire to have a sign-off from the local regional board that could actually take place. Without the need for a state revolving fund loan, obviously that aspect would be different. I know that funding sources that are out there do still depend on the approval of the local regional board, and that is still important for any system that's being proposed. Many folks in the community, I've heard them say, the regional board can't mandate the technology, and that's true. However, it's also very important that you have that regulatory buy-off so that you're not placed with, unreasonable monitoring provisions and a board that is not supportive of the project. So those would be my initial comments. Again, I'd be happy to bring back more detail if anyone desires.
I think perhaps two things might be appropriate. If you have more information, maybe the next meeting in your engineering report that you give. And at the same time, perhaps tonight you can explain where we are, relative terms, where we are in our project right now, and what the what the timeline, the effort that's necessary to go from start to where we are right now, and of course expense.
Right. In broad terms, I can think I can speak to time probably better than the cost. I know some of the costs of retooling and restarting at this point were summarized in a memo by Montgomery Watson during the Coastal Commission process, and I forget what the exact numbers are in terms of that cost. But I can speak to the time element and maybe can bring back cost issues at a subsequent meeting. In terms of time, I believe it would take a retooling of the process back through the local planning commission, back through the Board of Supervisors, and potentially back through the Coastal Commission, which given the time that took us last go-around, we're probably looking at 2 to 3 years to accomplish that sort of a process, plus looking at a significant amendment to the environmental document. That's the time element I think that you're looking for.
And absent any legal challenges, et cetera. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Julie Tacker, followed by Keith Swanson, followed by Dick Sargent.
Community. This is the same philosophy I will carry through my campaign. My signs and literature are photocopied, black and white, no frills, no sugar coating, just the basics. My website, www.tacker.com. For CSD, and that's a number 4.com, www.tacker4CSD.com, will carry more in-depth information, as it is the least expensive way to communicate with those who are interested in learning about me, my candidacy, and the current issues facing Los Osos. I can't do this alone, and I will need your help. I shall not seek and will not accept any contribution to my campaign larger than $20. Donations can be made to the committee to elect Julie Tacker, P.O. Box 6782, Los Osos, California, 93412. It's been an honor and a privilege to have represented so many Move the Sewer supporters. To Move the Sewer is fiscally responsible. The immeasurable cost to our quality of life, the physical health of our citizens, and the financial risk to our business district will never be recouped if the sewer plant is built in the middle of our special place that we call home. Thank you, and don't forget to vote.
Keith Sonson, followed by Dick Sargent, followed by Lindy Owen.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I'm going to go back to the town hall meeting of April 27th that the CSD called to measure the feelings and the feedback from the community as to where we wanted to go from the April 15th Coastal Commission hearing. These are some of the items that were to be discussed options to solve the pollution problem, groundwater pollution problem. Item E is set ballot measure to gauge support for project. That didn't happen. F, set ballot measure to divest district wastewater project authority. I was at that meeting. The majority of the people there said move the sewer. I just wonder what the purpose of that was. It just seemed like puffery by the CSD just to say, okay, we care, but we really don't care. We want my project. I want my project. I want my project. Just being childish about it. It's like you're not listening to the community, and you keep in this diatribe that you went through last week, Stan, with Mr. Buell, asking him all these questions, which you already had the answers for. Why you had to go through that, I don't understand. And it's not accurate. I don't like the term opponents. I think the opponents are consumer advocates for this community to save money. We want to move the sewer to save money. Montgomery Watson's material that we come in late, they come in late, allow them to speak. I know that's what they do at the Board of Supervisors. They always ask, is there anyone else that would like to speak? the cost of delays. I called Tony because I thought the blame of the opponents is erroneous. I want the people to realize $200,000 was spent by the CSD just to prepare to go to the Coastal Commission. The design and delays, the design, the redesign, are part of the conditions of this plant and the collection system. And don't blame it on us. They pointed it out to you. You had problems with it as far as the wetlands delineation, and your consultants blew it.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Dick Sargent, followed by Lindy Owen, followed by Bruce Payne.
Dick Sargent, Los Osos. The subject is the West Nile virus, the flesh-eating virus. I understand that the city of, well, maybe I'm mistaken, but anyway, Laguna Lake is being treated, and I'm curious about the update, and I'm sort of concerned that we'll be sort of the last ones to do anything if there is an outbreak over in our estuary. And I must confess, I haven't looked at the website, so you may already have updated this, but otherwise, that's for that. And that also brings me to the point that I feel very parallel. I feel like I'm in good hands with you guys. You're professional. I talk about the West Nile virus. I can't think of anybody I'd rather place the responsibility for my safekeeping, my family and friends, than you folks. You're professional. Your staff is absolutely the fantastic staff. You couldn't ask for anything more. So I want to thank you all. Thank you again.
Thank you. Lindy Owen, followed by Bruce Payne, followed by Chris Albee.
Good evening. Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I had two subjects I wanted to speak to. Anyway, the first one was to talk about the fiscal responsibility of moving the sewer. If anybody is interested, it would save us at least $10 million to move this project outside of town. If it takes 3 years, it takes 3 years. This is going to take endless years because it's not done. We're going to continue battling because it's still the wrong thing. You've ended up costing us all kinds of extra money because you didn't design it right in the first place, and it's still going to have problems. There's add-ons that haven't been discussed. You keep saying we're going to blend, but we'll talk about it later. To blend means to add a water plant onto it also. You have to clean the water that you're going to try to mix in for us to drink. So it's all more money down the road. That's the secret that we want to know. We've asked for years. So if it's costing too much money right now, it's nobody's fault but yours. We've asked for a better plant outside of town. What I really want to talk about, though, is upcoming, probably later, maybe November, is going to be the installation of a 17,000-square-foot skate park in the one little section of our park over here where we have concert into it. I'm asking that the CSD, and I've spoken several times, I want the CSD to consider this skate park to be the amenity that we put in at the sewer plant across the street. Whether we have the sewer plant built there or not, I think it is the ideal location to put the skate park. It's on a bare piece of land. It's already been mitigated. We are paying for this land right now currently as a community. And Shirley Bianchi was going to ask Bruce Buell, I request that you put it on the agenda as a possibility, and it just needs to be looked at. The temporary skate park at the end of the street here has a five-year approval to continue operating as a temporary skate park. It could be improved upon, and it will work, but to take what little park we have here and take it away from our community is not right. We need more parkland, and I think we have a better deal sharing the amenities there. Thank you.
Yeah. Ms. Owen, wait just a second. Vice President Hensley has a question.
I have a question, Lindy. The skate park is a county issue. You're on LOCEC. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why you're here and why you don't bring this up at LOCEC. Why you don't?
I'm bringing it up any place I can bring it up. This is a community issue.
Are you asking LOCEC to agendize this?
I'm asking our CSD to consider putting it in instead of wasting time putting silly amenities that are duplicates of what we have here. I think we could put the skate park there and have a win-win situation. with an emergency retention bowl.
But you, understand that the amenities are part of our coastal permit. We're committed to that. We would have to have to readjust our permit.
Would
you
that
realize
be so
what you're
hard,
asking
Gordon?
Us?
Yes, I am.
Yes,
I
it
do.
Would be hard.
I totally.
It would be hard.
Do you, I don't
but
think
do you realize
so
what you're asking us?
I think if you have complete community support, it wouldn't be difficult at all. It's up to you, as usual. And if you don't want it, we're not going to get it, right? Thanks.
It's a county project. Thank you.
Bruce Payne, followed by Chris Albee, followed by Tom Salmon.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. Had several things I wanted to talk about. Basically, how's your cash flow problem coming? I thought the paper was quite an interesting thing here, $5.6 million more. Is that $5.6 include the governance, or are you going to add another 14, 20%? How much? What's the governance on this? Is it added into it afterwards, or is that in the 5.6? I mean, when you figure, less than $2 million to run the fire department, and that costs $250,000 in governance, what the heck is that sewer plant going to cost us in governance alone? There were some things here that didn't quite add up to me when we were talking about the vote for the bond issue. I understood that one man got 17 votes by himself. Maybe we should kind of tell us how one man could get 17 votes. Is it by the square footage of the land he owned? I think maybe some people with 100 for this. And who decided that? Our local regional water quality control board drew a line down to exempt some of their friends up on the hillside. I don't know why they're not included in it. The Cleith Associates that we looked at the fire department there that night, you were there, showed even 30 years from now, the plume of nitrates coming from Cabrillo Estates is still headed for the ocean, for the bay, I'm sorry. The only time any of it ever headed toward the ocean was a small amount when, as Cleith Associates said, there was a huge tower of water and that pushed some of it a little bit towards the ocean, but it still came all the way to the bay. I talked to the people at the Regional Water Quality Control Board about 2 months ago about that moratorium zone, and they the same as told me it was etched in stone. There's so many things that
Thank
are
you,
wrong
Mr. Payne.
With this. Yeah. You still have time to do the right thing. If you can't change your mind, why don't you resign?
Thank you, Mr. Payne. And Mr. Buell, I think they also told us it was etched in stone relative to the moratorium, the prohibition zone. And again, on the weighted versus the unweighted ballot, it's a question of how much assessment each individual homeowner winds up paying. So if somebody had 17 votes, that means he wind up paying 17 times the assessment that any one single homeowner pays, and that's why he got 17 votes, because he had to pay 17 times, and that's the question. Am I wrong in that, Mr. Buell?
No, you're right, and the voters of this state in approving Prop 218 structured it so that was required. That is the Constitution of the state, Article 13, C and D, and we had no choice but to determine whether the assessment district passed or failed based on the criteria set forth by the state Constitution. But to be fair, and we wanted to know, we counted each ballot, and as I stated earlier, 84.3% of the ballots returned voted yes.
And by ballots returned, whether they had 17 votes or one vote, of the ballots returned, over 84% voted yes. There was very little difference that the weighted vote made on that vote. Mr. Payne, we've already been up and gone through all of that. Why don't you save it till after the meeting if you're still in doubt as to what that's all about? We've been through it.
We,
we,
yes.
We've already been through that, but that's what we're talking about. Chris Albee, followed by Tom Salmon.
Chris Albee, Los Osos. I wasn't going to speak tonight, but Mr. Buell's statement about the opposition being the source of cost overruns, it just gets me going. There's been violent opposition to the cost and this type of sewer for years before Mr. Buell was hired. It goes back to the 70s. I moved here in 87, and I started going to these meetings when I found out how much the county proposed sewer was going to cost. And we listened to every expert on Guys Green Earth that gave us good information on alternative systems and whatever. The Regional Water Board did not approve any system but the one being proposed now, which is the county system. That was a lie. They would not approve funding, which we could have provided ourselves, as we did in this last bond issue, for a clean, up-to-date system at much less cost. We were promised a recovery system. It's now a disposal system with a big sludge problem. The opposition groups have been formed to look at better, cheaper systems to avoid financial ruin and environmental catastrophe. There hasn't been any, the people that are in opposition, as we like to say, I think they have their priorities in the right place. Now we're down to just getting the stinker moved, and we can't even change that. So, yes, the opposition, we feel we've been let down, and we're going to do what we have to do about it. That's all I've got.
Mr. Salmon.
Tom Salmon, Baywood Park. In the last couple of weeks, I've listened to both President Bush and Senator Kerry discuss about their ideas for the future, about their ideas to make this country better, safer, and more profitable. But when I come here to participate in the American process, I listen to this board about threats and fines and how bleak the future is. And I'm disturbed. 3 years ago, I personally came in front of this board many times and explained to you why this plant in this location with this method and this process was a bad idea. But it's like so often, you refuse to listen to anyone else but yourself. The method, the process, the location, and the cost are bad. But you as a board refuse to listen to the difficulty that this plant was going to have. And now my community is facing this poorly designed, poorly engineered, and horribly expensive plant. Today in the newspaper, there was an article, and it titled, "The sewer will cost $5.6 million more." When you read it, it blames everyone but you. It blames the Coastal Commission. It blames the community. It blames everyone but you. I am surprised that you refuse to take any responsibility for this. Why don't you tell Los Osos the truth over and over again about the problems that this plant was going to have? All you did was tell them how great it was going to be, how we could afford it, how it was a great location to do all the things that you wanted to do when it is none of those things. I, like many in the community, now realize that you are not capable to organize, design, promote, or fiscally and financially be responsible for this plant located across the street. Three conditions of this poorly designed plant that you have to meet. My 3 minutes are up, but Stan, step up to the plate just once for this community. You stand there with the uniform and you tell me how great you are, but you refuse to
be responsible. Thank you, Mr. Salmon. I didn't hear any questions in there. Okay, closing public comment. We'll start with the regular agenda and item A on the regular agenda. Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Item A is to preview outstanding past due Mission Country disposal accounts and to set a hearing to authorize recording of liens on private properties. Mission Country Disposal has submitted an initial list of 28 properties. Of those, I'm pleased to say that eight have signed in. They've paid in full or made arrangements to pay so that they are off the list. The list on the screen is really for the board. It shows those properties that no longer are part of this discussion. The contract between the district and Mission Country Disposal it does require the district to review properties annually to determine who has and has not paid. This was done on purpose. The whole idea is to cut down on the cost for every property owner that does not pay for mandatory collection. That increases the cost of the remaining customers who do pay. And your board felt very strongly that it was appropriate to put the responsibility for the bills on the particular property owners. In this case, we started out with the 28 properties. The total delinquent fees were $9,198. We're down to $6,475. As I mentioned earlier, some of those have paid. $2,720 worth of outstanding payments have now been collected. This is the first of two lists. Mission Country Disposal will provide another list to us for your October board meeting. We are recommending that you set a lien hearing for those accounts that are unresolved for November 4th, 2004. We will bring the second list to your board at your October 7th meeting. And I do want to stress that for each account that's shown here, that Mission Country Disposal billed these accounts at least three times, and the district did provide specific notice to each property owner of this session this evening so that everybody had full knowledge of what the process would be. So we're recommending you hear from any interested party. If there are questions or concerns regarding the information from Mission Country, it would be appropriate to surface those tonight so those can be...
Bill aren't there anymore, or is this a homeowner that just refuses to pay the bill? What's... I mean, how do people end up on this list? Those are my three questions. Thank you.
Mr. Buell.
Thank you. There is no minimum threshold. The cost for the lien, the recordation, I believe, is $7, Karen? $7 at the recorder's office, plus our time of processing the paper. Going through the list, the majority of the past due accounts are owner-occupants, owners. There are, I believe, on the list, out of the 28 properties, I believe there were eight that were rentals.
Thank you. Mrs. Tacker?
Julie Tacker. I really only have a problem with the privacy issue. I think, why do you have to show those addresses to the whole community when that could be in your board packet and specific to you? Account numbers, I don't know, but addresses, I know. And that's airing dirty laundry, and I don't like it.
Lindy Owen Los Osos, I too would appreciate that you keep that private. I don't think that that has anything to do with a public meeting to put that information out. That's between the district and the property owner. Thank you.
Dick Sargent, Los Osos, and I strongly disagree. We've got enough deadbeats that getting a free ride around this city or area, I think we ought to advertise them and put it in front of their houses. I am disgusted. It makes me sick.
Any more public comment?
I'm Sylvia Naylor from Quest by the Sea, and I was checking it to see if my name was up there. Sometimes I have a hard time, but I'm not dead yet.
Any additional public comment?
Good evening again, Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. Actually, I thought maybe the addresses being up there were a good idea. I hope you've contacted the people that own these places and tried to get the money. Maybe their bill came back and they never got it or forgot it, and maybe their neighbors will tell them, hey, they're going to put a lien on your property, but pay your garbage bill. I think it's a good idea. I looked to see if my address was there. Thank you.
Mr. Buell, how many times was the notice sent out?
Well, four, including the notice that we sent out, and none of those notices were returned.
Right. Any additional public comment? I'll bring it back to the board then. Director LeGros.
I'd like to make the motion at this time to move staff's recommendation that a lien hearing be set for each of the unresolved accounts on November 4th of this year, and that notice of the hearing shall be supplied to each affected property owner.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Can we have a motion and a second? Any further?
I've got a question.
Discussion.
Bruce,
Director Simmons.
Is an effort made to determine if being able to afford?
Ms. Vega, do you want to go by roll call?
Director Simmonson.
Yes.
Director LeGros.
Yes.
Vice President Hansley.
Yes.
President Gustafson.
Yes. Now we'll move on to item B on the regular agenda. Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Item B is to amend the wastewater project final design agreement to reflect Coastal Commission conditions. This evening, staff is requesting that your board authorize the execution of an amendment to your final design agreement with Montgomery Watts and Harza. As you know, the Coastal Commission on August 11th did adopt 83 conditions. The result of those conditions is that we need to either revise or create 89 new plan documents in our final design, and we do need to restructure and rebid the project since the initial advertisement and bid was canceled because of the April action of the commission. We have a proposal from Montgomery Watson. Staff did request that Montgomery Watson submit this proposal so that we can move forward with compliance with the conditions in a timely manner. The proposal has come back at $766,000. That includes an option of the $766,000, $24,000 would be optionable depending on whether or not there were sufficient contractors that we initially pre-qualified that were still willing to bid the project. Of the total funding, a little more than $529,000 is for the redesign, and $237,000 is for the rebid phase. This matter was presented to your finance committee yesterday. There was a 3-2 vote. The vote was to recommend approval of the contract with one caveat, and that would be to secure to my satisfaction that there was no double billing. If I can have the board turn to the packet, the last page is a spreadsheet that shows the allocation of costs for personnel and services, and there is a column, the second to the right, that is labeled G&A expenses. That's general and administrative expenses. This includes the various overhead costs of Montgomery Watson, corporate management and administration, professional liability insurance, general business insurance, business taxes, and the profit that they hope to make on their various ventures. I did clarify with Steve Hyland, and Mr. Hyland is here also to answer questions, that the general and administrative expenses are built into the all of that, that is separate and distinct from the loading that was built in the columns to the far left-hand side of the spreadsheet. This evening, staff is recommending that your board authorize this this work and the amendment to your agreement. We believe that the proposed price fairly represents the work that needs to be done. I have had your district engineer review that, and I believe he concurs with my analysis. We further believe that these are costs that resulted directly from the delay in the project and the determination of the Coastal Commission that they wanted to change the project according to their discretion to do so. So, again, we're recommending approval of the contract. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Board have any comments? Director LeGros.
Mr. Buell, I know you've been working with the negotiating with the firm Montgomery Watson for quite a while in terms of the cost for the additional work. If you could, I'd like to know what you've been doing and if we've been successful in bringing the cost of these additional services down.
Yes, and you may also want to have Mr. Hyland comment. We did negotiate back and forth. We did reduce the costs. We specifically restructured how much of the staff time would be going into this this phase of the work. So we're lower today than we were when we started out.
Approximately how much?
Steve, you think maybe 100,000? Roughly 100,000.
Mr. Allen, maybe you'll come to the podium. I think in addition to the question that was just to ask, perhaps you may want to do give the public, tell the public how you derive these figures, a bottom-up kind of review. How did you do it? And kind of put that together, walk through it, if you would.
Certainly. We broke our level of effort into different categories. The first category or task was project management, and this basically covers the time for myself as project manager and John Bergen, our proposed construction manager. And this is a allocation of hours for the duration of this particular amendment. And this is scheduled if we start, if we get notice to proceed effective tonight, this would take us through May to June next year when we would go through the whole redesign and rebid process. And by the way, let me explain that this is a budget. It's not an obligation to expend that money. So our work would only be done under the direction of the district and only as it's authorized. We had another level of effort to assist the district and respond to the California Coastal Commission's request for information. That pretty much is a time and materials effort, and all of those costs have effectively already been incurred. And then conduct the bidding process. There are numerous questions that are asked by the contractors during the bidding process, and we've budgeted to respond to those questions. And again, this is difficult to predict what the actual level of effort is going to be. Again, this is a budget. We only charge those costs as they're incurred. And then finally, as Mr. Buell mentioned, we have an option for pre-qualification. We plan to canvass all of the previously pre-qualified general contractors and subcontractors. One of our concerns is due to the delay, whether or not all of these contractors and subcontractors are still willing to bid the project. So if we find that some of the pre-qualified contractors are bowing out of the process, we may want to consider opening in pre-qualification to gather in more bidders to have a more competitive bidding environment. So that's pretty much a summary of the how we've arrived at the budget we have here.
Thank you, Mr. Hammond. Any additional questions? Director Simonson.
Yeah, Steve. I'm a little disturbed with the administrative costs. It's almost 50% of the cost of doing the work. And I know it takes a lot of time and coordination to do these. But I just ran some of the numbers, and the company officer, that's you, or is it? Are you the company officer under here?
Yes.
Okay. By my calculations, you're going to be putting in 560 hours on doing this, and just looking at the figures. And the engineer is going to be putting in about 540 hours. And my experience has been that usually the administrator doesn't put in as much time as the person who's actually doing the on-the-ground work.
Okay. I will be doing a fair amount of the work involved here. This budget translates to an average of 2 days a week of my time from now until May and June of next year.
Okay. All right.
Any other questions? Board questions. Vice President Hensley.
I don't have so much a question as a request of the public comment when you come forward. I'm sure that if the microscopes haven't already been pulled out, they're being pulled out as I speak. When you come to the podium and speak, it would be really helpful if you refer us to the part of the agreement that you're talking about, so that we can make our notes and stay on the same page literally. Thank you.
Director LaGrow, did you have a question?
Not at this time.
Okay.
That, of course, is an assumption, as Mr. Buell keeps pointing out, based on whether or not there's a lawsuit. And I think also the same thing would apply with a recall movement. So there's two wild cards in there that may interfere. The timeline that was given was that you would have a coastal development permit doing this scope of work by December. That's also an assumption. What I would like to know is how you can authorize this scope of work before the legal window expires on October 10th for lawsuit opposition to the Coastal Commission Coastal Development Permit. And I'd like to clarify for the public in general that you do not have a coastal development permit. You have a notice of intent to issue a coastal development permit. You do not have a coastal development permit. If you had a coastal development permit, you could issue bonds, you could draw down state revolving fund. So the paper has stated to the public that we do have a coastal development permit. That is not correct. I think it's voodoo economics to bet on the come line all the time, which you've done consistently. Voodoo economics is some kind of magic thing where you don't know the answers to things, but you just jump in and go for it, I guess. I think there's design flaws in the present design in addition to the scope of work that you have now. We've noted that the pipe slopes on the collection system, which is the biggest expense in the project, and will take more maintenance than any other form, is less than 1/16 of an inch slope. it's also less flow than is required for 2 foot per second flow that's necessary to move solid through the pipes. We will contest that you can successfully do that without added maintenance. You'd have to have a vacuum truck to pump these areas when the solids start piling up. You would have odors that would be created from the solids staying in the pipe for extended periods of time.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Mr. Buell.
A clarification for the board and the public. And in the staff note, we go through the arithmetic, but the $3,017,641 we estimate to be on reserve as of July 1 does not include the $2.45 million on the bond.
Thank you. Mr. Swanson.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I just would like to know if Mr. Hyland can specify exactly what this is paying for as far as, I know these are redesign, if you could specifically say what's being redesigned and what's being done. Thank you.
I think we'll take that up at the end of public comment. Mr. DeCash.
James Tkach, Los Osos. I was wondering if we could have Mr. Hyland expand, which I'm assuming is a, that was a senior designer, so I'm assuming he's doing the plans, whereas a professional engineer is doing the number crunching. He's at a rate of $108 an hour. He's down for a total of all the different items of about $27,000, whereas the senior professional engineer is doing, well, $10,000 worth. The supervising professional, $156,000. The principal professional doing $84,000. And the company officer doing $188,000. I'm wondering, my question is just why can't the professional engineer, who I'm assuming is a licensed civil engineer, do a lion's share of this and have the project management oversight, which Mr. Hyland would perform, done by him? In other words, have the lower paid person do more of the work. Thank you.
Any additional public comment?
Good evening again. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. I was at the Finance Committee meeting the other day, yesterday I believe it was, and we were going over some of this stuff. And it came to mind as the design in the first place, and of course Mr. Hyland wasn't at that meeting, so we didn't have any engineer to ask about it, but as I understood, Montgomery Watts and Hart built plants all over the world, and this is not the first time they were ever in anything where the Coastal Commission might be involved. I wonder if they're in the habit of designing borings underneath wetlands, and if that's really an honest and correct design, or is that an error in design, and do we have to pay to correct the errors? This is the thing that came up. I think Mr. Hyland could tell us maybe other places that they drill under wetlands, so we'll know that they do it all over, but they can't do it here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Payne. Any additional public comment?
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I wanted to suggest one way to save maybe up to $350,000. That's what the amenities are going to cost. I'm on page 2 of 5, and those amenities include an amphitheater, which I don't believe we need because we kind of have one if you wouldn't need it to be round. Over by the other side of the Red Barn, that's what's slated to be filled with concrete. We have a tot lot, and we have a picnic area. Those are redundant items, and the idea of setting the skate park is not really as absurd as it sounds. It is 17,000 square feet. I've looked at the dimensions. If it were to sit between the library and the Los Osos Valley Road right along Palisades. It meets all the requirements that were initially put forth for the skate park. It would provide an emergency basin if we were ever to need someplace to do the best you could do for this community, which is preserve our park that we need and provide a place that I think would serve the community far better than the redundancy of an amphitheater, a tot lot, and a picnic area. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional public comment?
Good evening. Lisa Schicker again. This is what I'm trying to say is the Los Osos Technical Task Force, which I'm a member and spokesperson, yesterday attended the Finance Committee regarding this issue about this $766,000 contract. We submitted two statements of public comment, and I'm going to submit them again tonight and just hit the highlights today, because we're concerned about what was said and discussed in Mr. Buell's memo, mainly the blaming thing. The blaming isn't helping anybody just by pointing the finger out at everybody. I think we'd like the CSD to accept some responsibility, and we'd like the consultants to accept some responsibility for the issues and problems that have come up. The problems, the changes are not new. The changes are old. They've existed since the 2001 EIR. They've continued through the Coastal Development Permit, and now here they are again. The task force has, in writing, several times tried to make you aware of some of these changes. So, once again, the blaming doesn't help, and we're asking everyone to take some responsibility. And that includes the consultants. Kind of tacking on to what Mr. Simonson said, I would have a couple questions here. I want to know how much Montgomery Watson Aharza has been paid in total so far, and I want to know how much of that was administrative. And when I'm looking at the contract in the book back there and in the handout, it says that they're getting paid $55,000 additional dollars for Coastal Commission responses. There's only like a couple lines on what those are. I wondered how that money got approved. I never heard it being authorized or approved ahead of time. And how does the CSD normally handle those things? Do you allow $55,000 of our money to be spent without being approved at your finance committees or authorized in any way? I have a concern with that. And I think that everybody should take a little responsibility here. These questions should have been answered. I don't know why we're getting charged again. And I have a concern about that. So I'd like to bring that up. And then I will submit these comments in writing, too. But mainly, there's a huge cry to move this project out of town. Montgomery Watson Aharza is saying $766,000 to redesign it in place. And in your own documents, $910,000 to move it out. It's from the same firm, from the same engineering. That's not a lot more. You could watch a lot of opposition go away if we started looking at that in that direction. $766,000, $910,000. These are your own figures. I'm not making them up. Thank you very much.
Additional public comment?
Gail McPherson, Los Osos. I attended the Finance Committee meeting yesterday, and I was, quite frankly, very surprised and disgusted to find this is amazing to me. At the meeting yesterday, Mr. Golden asked for a categorical review of the project expenses to date and to try to put a handle on perhaps where these expenses have been incurred, what are the reasons, was it delays? Are these conditions that were known in the beginning, as many people have said, going into this project? He was denied that. And Mr. Hunter asked for a review of the consultants' contracts and asked how you've negotiated and show us that they've sharpened their pencil. Now we find that $55,000 has already been incurred and was okayed by staff without board approval. Bruce said that it would be a fool's errand for him to conduct a review of whether due diligence or best professional judgment was used in developing the design. certainly things have been missed. That's why the Coastal Commission and other regulators have brought them up. And the fact that they've been missed is something that we're going to pay for. But I think it's important to go back and take a strong, hard look at this project. It's in the wrong place. It's at the wrong price. And it's the wrong plant. Thanks.
Any additional public comment?
John Perkins, Cuesta by the Sea, 15-year resident down there. I'm one of those senior citizens on the limited fixed income whose lifestyle is going to be drastically affected by the already expensive sewer that we're going to have. I've been coming to these meetings for about 4 years now, hoping that I could hear something new from the opposition. And by gosh, they're the opposition. Regardless of what they want to tell you, they're the opposition. I haven't heard anything new tonight, and I haven't heard anything new in the 4 years that I've been coming. Having said that, I want to urge you to accept staff's recommendation and vote in the positive to accept to go forward and move forward and move forward with all the speed that you can so this sewer plant doesn't get any more expensive than it already is and so that my lifestyle doesn't get affected more drastically than it already is. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional public comment?
Julie Tacker. I have to agree with Mr. Perkins. Much of this is not new. Much of it was identified in your environmental document, in your EIR, by reputable citizens, agencies, over and over again. They raised the same issues that we raised in our appeals in August to the Board of Supervisors and again in November to the Coastal Commission. The Coastal Commission recognized the issues and demanded a de novo hearing. Staff, in your staff note of this particular item on page 2, staff further believes that the additional costs resulted directly from the delay in the project as a result of the determination by the Coastal Commission on April 15th cost measure that backfired. That's not my fault. That's your fault. Your consultant is asking for a lot of money, a lot more money. How much has he been paid already? Who authorized the $55,000 that you're now approving that he's already spent, the work he's already done? Your consultant is the professional that's to advise you and to do the right thing. Going through the wetlands was a bad idea. Citizens, George and Gwen Taylor, told the county, told Mr. Buell and Mr. Highland in private meetings that Lupin was a wetland, Cuesta by the Sea, longtime residents. They watched the dirt get put there. They know it was a wetland, and you were going to put a pump station and bore underneath it. You are culpable. Your consultant should be doing very much pro bono. And if it wasn't this consultant, then it may have been the environmental consultant that misrepresented the depth in which those wetlands were there.
Thank you. Mr. Buell, the question on the wetland. Was it determined that Lupin was a wetland?
There is a wetland to the south of the Lupin pump site, but it was determined that the Lupin pump site itself is not a wetland.
And the boring that was commented on, wasn't that over at the Solano area, supposed to Lupin?
There was also a proposal to bore from Lupin southerly to intersect Binsgarth that the commission deleted. We continue to believe that that was a discretionary action by the commission, is not required by law.
Thank you. Additional public comment?
Steve Sawyer, Los Osos again. I was wondering if we could have Mr. Highland explain to us what a not-to-exceed contract means, and I'd like to hear what his views on that are. I already know how the CSD feels about not to exceed contracts. We saw that at the last meeting when you exceeded your not to exceed contract with your attorney. I always thought not to exceed meant they agreed to do the work and all the work for the amount of the contract, and it wasn't to exceed the amount of the contract. So let's please hear that from Mr. Hyland and how that's going to affect this contract here. I also want to point out to the community and the board that yesterday at the Finance Committee, which I also attended, when discussing all these changes, Mr. LeGros stated that they were relatively minor. And I just think the community needs to know that Mr. LeGros thinks that $766,000 is relatively minor. I, for one, don't. In addressing the issue of the price difference in updating this current design to Coastal Commission standards and moving, redesigning the plant at Andre, the $144,000 difference, I think a lot of the community is going to be interested in that number. What I'm wondering is, when you do redesign the plant at Andre, does that include the amenities, moving the amenities over there? Is that so? I guess my question to Mr. Buell would be, what amount of money would have been unreasonable? Let's hear that figure. Thank you.
Any additional public comment? Okay, I'm going to close public comment, bring it back to the board. There were some questions relative to the process that Mr. Hyland, perhaps you can address. The in terms of, first question was, what is being redesigned specifically? And then perhaps you want to talk about why does it take three top engineers? I think you were taking those down. The wetlands issue, I think we've gone over.
Okay, I would like to begin by talking about the redesign elements that we've budgeted for. I might mention, too, that in response to an earlier comment, some of these redesign elements, we are required to redesign them and submit them to the California Coastal Commission for review and acceptance before they will issue the permit. So we have kind of a catch-22 here. We need to advance the design if we want to get the permit. One of the first items was to reduce the length of the Ravenna Avenue extension. What this refers to is parallel to the west side of the Tri-W site where the treatment plant goes. We were following the San Luis Obispo County requirement that the road extension that we would design and ultimately build would have to be for the full length of the property. So we were going to construct the road and designed it accordingly to go from LOVR north to the edge of the property. The California Coastal Commission, in their condition, said do not carry the road any farther north than it would take to provide access to the entrance to the wastewater treatment facility. So we restarted the design to comply with county requirements, and now we'll be modifying it to respond to the California Coastal Commission. This change will affect 10 of the drawings that we had previously designed, and so our level of effort will be to go back and modify 10 drawings and make changes to show the difference in the length of that pavement extension. Another design element is to add parking off of Palisades. This will require modifications to 6 drawings. Fairly straightforward. We already had this area covered, but we did not show any improvements. But now we'll have to show paving improvements and make the necessary call-outs to accommodate that. The next redesign element is to add the additional site amenities that have been discussed. This includes the restroom, amphitheater, tot lot, picnic area, and community gardens. There are a total of 37 drawings that will be affected by this request. 24 of those will be new drawings, and the remaining 13 will be modifications to existing drawings. Another element was to revise the alignment of the Lupin force main. And what this refers to is there is a future corridor for the Ravenna Avenue that would extend from the treatment plant site to Ramona. We were used redesign element was at the 4th Street Pocket Pump Station location. That's near the Audubon Outlook, and the pump station location was deemed to be too close to the edge of the wetland area there. So we're going to be relocating that pump station and probably reconfiguring some of the pipelines to accommodate that so that we have the necessary clearances desired by the California Coastal Commission. This will involve modifications to five drawings. The next element I'd like to talk about is at the Lupin pump station, we will be revising the pipeline as we discussed before. We were proposing to microtunnel across a wetland portion along Donna to Binscarth. We'll now take the line out and go north instead of south and go down Lupin and then come down Fern, correct, to Binscarth. And so we'll be making that modification. And then the final modification is we had identified a reach of gravity sewer pipe from the corner of Solano and Butte, which is near the Sea Pines Golf Course, and we were going to microtunnel across a known wetland to Pacho Road. And the intent of that particular alignment was to eliminate a pump station and a standby power facility that had been identified in the facility plan. I'd like to spend a little bit of time in talking about that, and also another question that came up regarding whether or not we've designed facilities in the past across wetlands. I know we have a project right now for the County of Sacramento. This is a major wastewater conveyance facility. We are designing twin 60-inch diameter force mains that are carrying raw wastewater, and we're crossing the Sacramento River in two different locations. So we have design projects where we cross wetlands, and we know what the issues are there. I chafe a little bit at this particular condition because from an engineering standpoint, I look at what I believe to be extremely low risk that microtunneling is going to contaminate a wetland. This is a one-time environmental risk versus the trade-off of installing a pump station and a standby power building that are going to be there for perpetuity. So for the remainder of this system, we're going to be incurring energy costs to pump wastewater that could otherwise flow by gravity. We're going to have an above-grade building that is going to require maintenance and attention. And from an environmental and community standpoint, I just don't think this is a good trade-off. But nonetheless, this is what we're going to be doing. So that particular change is going to affect 18 drawings, six of which are new. So that pretty much summarizes the nature of the redesign effort and the additional work we have to do.
And if I might, Mr. Hyland, the Solano question about the microtunneling, in fact, that was not that a suggestion from back.
$10,000 estimate to move the Andre site was the redesign effort that it would take to design a new new conveyance facilities to get wastewater from the centroid of the community out to the Andre site, to relocate the and salvage as much of the existing treatment plant design as possible and locate it on the Andre site, and then to design conveyance facilities to take treated effluent back. That estimate of level of effort would not have included any response to the California Coastal Commission. It would not have included any of the redesign elements that I just mentioned, and it would not have included rebid or pre-qualification. Many of those elements would have to be done in this hypothetical situation if we move the Andre site. So it's not a either or. There would be, and it's not an apples and oranges comparison. Another thing I'd like to comment on had to do with the not to exceed aspect. Obviously, we understand what a not to exceed is. We do not have the district's permission to expend funds beyond the upper limit of the contract. In this particular situation, I had discussions with Mr. Buell. Time was of the essence. Our support would have required a contract amendment, which was not going to be feasible or practical to conduct at that time. We, in good faith, went forward and did this work, and we recognized that at the district's discretion, you may not approve this. And we were willing to take that risk because we felt that was important for the project. We weren't going to hold the district hostage, that we weren't going to respond and assist with these requests from the California Coastal Commission by refusing to do work at that juncture.
Thank you, Mr. Hyland.
Mr. President, could Steve respond to the mix of engineers, and in particular why I've asked you to spend so much time with us?
Thank you. I neglected to answer that. I'm sorry. We do have a matrix of engineers that perform work. For a job of this magnitude during the major design effort, we probably had at any one time 50 to 60 engineers working on this project. The allocation of budget that I have there is to look at the lead people for each of these design elements, and these people represent a cross-section of disciplines. We're going to need people who are versed in civil design, structural design, architectural, landscaping, mechanical, HVAC, electrical, instrumentation. So we have a gamut of people that have worked on the project, and the budget we have there is for the types of engineers that we would expect that would be doing the lead work on these improvements. The actual mix of design professionals that work on this job may work.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. I'm just going to give you some basic analysis. First of all, it's clear that the work was not performed under the contract. If it was a not to exceed and there was extra work. However, just from listening to the testimony here today, it's clear that the work was performed at the district's request. To me, there's no doubt about that. So the issue becomes, from a legal analysis, what happens when somebody is asked to do work not pursuant to a contract, but at the request of the district? And as Mr. Hyland has pointed out, it's time of the essence. Well, the basic theory is quantum merit, which means when you ask somebody to do something under contract, that person is entitled not to maybe the contract price, but to the reasonable value of the work performed. I have had the opportunity to argue these cases, not a whole lot, but in the engineering field a couple of times. And my belief is that because the court would take the hourly rate and assume that that's a reasonable amount because it's been pre-negotiated, in fact. The question would then become, is the time reasonable? If there is a doubt in the board's mind, I would suggest that you refer that to our engineer to make a decision as to whether or not the amount of time and effort devoted in response to the district's request was a reasonable time, and that would, I think, be the only debate that would be left from a legal perspective.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Mr. Buell.
Thank you, Mr. President. From staff's perspective, we're in sort of a box. We've run out of dollars. We work with the engineer, and we reach an agreement that he's willing to take the risk. I present it back to your board. I believe my understanding is that if your board decided you weren't willing to pay this, that Montgomery Watson would not seek the cost. But in all good conscience, this is work that I believe was performed and to the benefit of the district.
And I might also point out that whether you have a written contract or an oral contract, you can still contract orally for work to be performed. And certainly that's also a legal contract. Am I right in that, Mr. Seitz?
I have no doubt that there was a legal relationship between the district and the contractor.
Thank you. Any additional board comments? Vice President Hensley.
Perhaps Mr. Buell can review some of our minutes, but it is my recollection that we were alerted that additional work needed to be done to respond to the Coastal Commission, and we knew that there was a price associated with that.
Challenge. It's almost impossible to answer. It would depend on the nature, of course, of the challenge, whether or not it was a type of action that sought to enjoin the project or it was a different type of challenge. Now, typically these are writs, but I'm not going to dictate the creativity of somebody's lawyer, so that is just really an unknown. I mean, you would really have to evaluate the nature of the pleadings at the time and what type of relief they were requesting. As to the recall, we've been through this before. You know how it works. There's a petition, there are signatures, they need to be counted. It goes through an election and a process. Does a recall, what effect the recall would have on the project to me is just unknown. It would almost be impossible to answer at that time. The timing, I don't know how many months it would take. It took a significant effort the last time that it failed, and I would assume the same effort. I just don't have all those timelines. Is it 45 days to gather signatures and go through the works or not?
I guess more directly my question is anybody aware that if there was a legal challenge or a recall that somehow would lower the cost of the project or that the district would somehow be let off the hook for doing the project?
No. Well, it's clear in our code is that you trying to put this in a way that's successive boards are obligated for their predecessor board's actions. You know, it works. Just because you get a new board doesn't mean everything that the board has done previously is automatically void, null and void, and you go back to where you were before the last board was elected. There is continuing obligations. So from that perspective, it would not change what has been done or the contracts that are in existence. I don't know how else to answer. If you have a contract in existence, then the successive board would need to fulfill the obligations that are existing in those contracts.
So the answer would be no. I'm always reluctant to ask lawyers questions.
Well, you know, and I got to tell you, I'm reluctant to. I'm just to be straight. I'm reluctant to answer it because it's not a question that you can answer prospectively as a hypothetical. You have to evaluate the situation, the effort into the contracts, and a whole bunch of other things before you can really. I could give you an opinion as to a new board as to what their exposure is to changing anything about the project. It's in the future.
If it takes that long for an answer, John, I don't think I want an opinion. I mean, these are guys. You were with a bunch of guys who write 300 pages and call it a brief. Really beyond the scope of the original contract. And in my experience, that's not unusual at all. In fact, usually in this discussion, I'm sitting in the audience because I've raised some objection to a project that has brought it to this very place, and the new conditions require additional work, and I'm not uncomfortable with this part at all. In fact, I think just the converse. I would have been much more surprised if, after the appeals and the delays, our engineering firm was turning to us and saying, changes, delays, no problem. We got that. We had that padded into the original contract. And I think I appreciate Montgomery Watson not putting that in the original contract. Boring under the creek, under the wetland, I think Mr. Highland addressed that fairly well. We've heard an opinion that it's a bad idea, but it was approved in our original contract. I write comments that it's a bad idea all the time on lots of projects. It's approved regularly under creeks, under wetlands. It happens all the time. Not that it's a good or bad idea, but it is technically possible. And I think my final comment is that I think I am attracted to Mr. Seitz's suggestion that we have our engineer evaluate the time involved in this particular project.
Mr. Seitz, is there a problem? I mean, Mr. Buell, is there a problem if we were to take a look at that and have Mr. Miller report back to us?
None whatsoever, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any additional board comment? Do we have a motion?
I make a motion. At this time, I'd like to make the motion that we move staff recommendation to, after having reviewed, to accept the contract amendment to the Montgomery Watson contract. I believe it's label number 6,
yes,
as written.
And that's not pulling out the piece relative to Coastal Commission and having our engineer.
I was going by staff's recommendation that we.
Staff gave us an addition. Would you remind us of that?
Well, the Finance Committee yesterday requested that we evaluate that $15,970. I believe that that is a valid charge and should be part of the overall award. I think the only other thing that may be confusing is the $24,000 on the pre-qualifications. I'd encourage you to include that in the amendment. If it is proven unnecessary, we won't do it.
I just had no problem with that in terms of modifying my.
Zucchelli from the Sheriff's Coast Station. A couple things I just wanted to talk about, mainly that the school has started, and I really hope that everybody keeps an eye out for the kids because they're all walking. A lot of them are just starting school. They kind of don't know how it works, but there's a lot of kids out. I've noticed it on my own driving around. So please be aware of that and slow down. Also, I don't know if anybody's noticed. I know I have because I almost drove through it, but there's a new stop sign at 7th and El Moro, mm-hmm, which should really help out with the traffic control on the street because that was a problem corner with a lot of speeders and kids crossing the roadway. Also, this is my last meeting here. I'm being transferred to detectives. Deputy Burgesson is going to take over for me. I just want to thank everybody here for their cooperation. I know sometimes it's been politically charged, and that's what a political meeting's for, but everybody's been really good to me, and I always appreciated working with everybody. And I just wanted to thank the board and the people in the audience for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Pat. And Mike Sheridan says best of luck, by the way. See report from LOCAC.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. There's going to be a shot up here. Sprint PCS presented to LOCAC their proposal to put a 60-foot, now they've reduced it to 50-foot flagpole, which is going to be their antenna to improve their service area. And LOCAC felt that it was important that we look at this again this month to get a little bit of public input, if there's any concerns about it. I don't know if we got a photograph of it yet.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And they're also going to present another point of view requested by the board heading west on Los Osos Valley Road. Shirley Bianchi also, concerning the skate park that was brought up at the LOCAC meeting, and she suggested, well, why don't you present this at CSD so that you can get more public input. So, Gordon, it was something that Ms. Bianchi thought would be a good idea to use this forum to do this. Also want to, we've created a committee for replacing, District 1 has a vacancy. Applications are requested now. The deadline will be September 23rd. You can call me at 528-1268 if you'd like to receive an application, if you're interested. Also, the Estero area plan update is coming up in September and October. We're waiting to find out exactly when the Los Osos area is going to be considered. We're having a special meeting on September 16th specifically just to review the Estero area plan update. And I believe that's it. Thank you. Are you okay, Bob?
Yeah. Now, is the LOCAC board will then choose the candidate? You're not going to go through another election.
No, we're not going to go through an election. Okay. We're going to go ahead and choose
once
we get the applications in, and that will be done in October.
All right. Good.
Mr. Swans, you may want to
ask to put up a story poll, put up a flagpole that simulates this, and see what happens.
Right, we discussed that, and they're certainly more than accommodating because they'd like to have it there, plus there'll be revenue to the property owner. But the perimeter area, actually, of noticing the property owners is also at issue as to how far they're going to go, because it's certainly going to affect more than just the small diameter that they're discussing. So. Is that it? Before I leave?
That's good. Thank you. Mr. Seitz?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. At the last meeting, the board directed me to come back and report on the public's ability to comment on public employee performance. This is that report. For those of you that like to look at cases, I reviewed three cases, Baca versus Moreno Valley Unified School District. There's a more recent case than that, Leventhal versus Vista Unified School District, and then a case that I've talked about in the past, and that's Connect versus the Santa Monica Rent Control Board. All three of those cases are federal cases, however, they do interpret California law on this issue. several conclusions. One, it's clear from these cases that the Board of Directors sits in its legislative capacity as opposed to its employer-employee capacity during open meetings of the Board of Directors. You do not sit during the open part of the meetings as the employer of your employees. That has been made clear. Employee conduct is within the subject matter of the jurisdiction of the Board of Directors. The two courts, the Baca Court and the Leventhal Court, had the opportunity to take a look at rules that prohibited criticism of district employees during the public comment period. Both of those courts ruled that such rules that prohibit criticism are not content neutral. And that's one of the key things that when you adopt rules on expression of at public meetings. And that's because these rules allow the public to comment praise or neutral expressions of the employee's performance while prohibiting negative or critical comment. So there is those types of rules are not viewed by the court as being content neutral because they only allow one type of comment. Either neutral or praise. So, as the law stands today, I believe that rules prohibiting criticism will not reach legal muster. However, having said that, the ability to criticize public employees is not unlimited. And here's some general principles. As opposed to the board, myself, Mr. Buell, your employees are not they're not public figures, and there's a whole different burden of proof between criticizing a public official as opposed to criticizing that I would encourage the president to enforce. But again, criticism of district employees, I think, as long as it's job-related, is permissible.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Mr. Buell?
I have nothing to add to that, Mr. President, if you want to go on.
The next item.
Okay. Please. Item D is quotes. Thank you. Item D is quotes from letters received. I have none to report. Item E is responses to editorials and letters to the editor. I have none to report. Item F is a staff report, status report on the state revolving fund loan. We have had two successful meetings with the regional board and the state board. I am more optimistic that we can preserve our state revolving fund loan. We are still working with the state. We still don't know the process. We're awaiting the word from the state board staff. But it is possible that the loan could get extended at what is called the divisional level instead of going to the full board, State Water Resources Control Board. So I will continue to report as soon as I get a firm determination on that. I'll share that with your board. But I think that's good news.
Thank you. And update on the wastewater cost increases.
Yes, Mr. President, I want to put a slide on the screen, if you'll give me a minute for that. What I've placed on the screen is my estimation of the increased cost of the project due to delays. The current delay, you were expected to start construction end of June, early July 2004, and we're currently estimating start of construction perhaps late May 2005, although, again, we're waiting to determine what happens with litigation. As we've discussed earlier, the responses to the Coastal Commission ended up costing around $200,000. We're looking at the $766,000 you approved tonight, the $55,000 that was included in this contract was not part of the $200,000. Our initial estimate of the new facilities is roughly $600,000, and then the inflation, and Steve Hyland and I have had several discussions. He believes my 6.4% number is low if we looked at what has been happening over the first 6 months of 2004. Nevertheless, if you look at the engineering news record for the period May 2003 through May 2004, it does check in at 6.4%. So if you add these costs up, that's roughly $7.6 million. That's the current delay. We had reported on numerous occasions that the delay you experienced in 2001, 2002, included roughly $3 million in inflation, and you have defended the community against five separate lawsuits in regard to the project. So those are all added up to around $300,000. So we're estimating the total of the previous delays at around $3.3 million, And if you add it all together, you're up over $9 million that the community will end up spending in addition to what you would have otherwise have spent to build the project.
Mr. Buell, I've got one question. When you talk about inflation, you're talking about construction inflation. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, sir. That's exactly correct. And when we're looking at the engineering news record, we're looking at the construction index, which is the most widely respected indicator of construction cost. This year, this first 6 months of the year, has been extraordinary. Steve and I were looking at the cost increases for steel, for pipe, for concrete, all have experienced extraordinary increases in the first 6 months of this year.
The other question I've got is relative to if we were to experience delays in the future, what kind of monthly cost are we looking at based upon the inflation rate as we see it now? I know there's some imponderables there, and it's somewhat speculative, but based upon that 6.4% inflation, construction inflation rate on a monthly basis, every month of delay on top of what we're looking at right now, what would that cost?
It's over $300,000 a month, Mr. President. The $4.2 million that's up on the board is an annual period, a 12-month period. So if you do the simple arithmetic, it's what, $330 a month, plus or minus? Yeah, roughly $330 a month.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Okay, at this point, get into the written administrative reports.
No updates on the written administrative reports, Mr.
Right.
President.
And committee reports?
As presented.
Okay. At this point, before we go to the consent calendar, are there any directors that want to pull an item off the consent calendar? At this point, then, we'll open it up to public comment on the consent calendar as well as the administrative and committee reports. Any public comment?
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. Just to get a clarification, Mr. Seitz, the criticism of the public officials is permissible to their opinions of whether it's positive or negative is permissible. And that if there is anything that's slanderous or anything that's potentially illegal wrong, that person that's making that comment is actually accepting that legal responsibility. Is that fair? Do you want to have him respond or let me continue?
Yeah.
He looks like he's ready to talk.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and we'll get into.
I know. On your dime, our dime, actually. Regarding the loan, I knew that I'm aware that there was an administrative actions taken, a resolution that we wouldn't lose this loan. All along, I've always said that. We've never been to lose this loan. They want this project to be done, whatever that project is. I just want to make sure that the public understands that these additional costs were borne by the Coastal Commission via the appeal, via the issues in the EIR, and the redesign and the delays that are occurring as a result of those things. That's not something, it's unfortunate it's costing this much, but it's actually to the benefit for everyone for this particular project. I think the only delays that I've seen now is the 4 months that we had from April 15th to August, and then the additional 4 months of delay and redesign if you're using the June 2004, which is actually April, back to then till whenever. That's what we're really looking at as far as delays that we're specifically talking about now, is 4 months plus 4 months. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Buell or Mr. Seitz, relative to the, I think Mr. Seitz, relative to the slander question, and I might want to point out that slander of public officials is not a complete, just because you're a public official, that gives you a total defense as to slander. It doesn't quite work that way.
Keith works with lawyers, so he's probably going to expect this type of response from me. But it has to do with is this either Sullivan versus New York Times or New York Times versus Sullivan? Sullivan versus New York Times. It has to, that a public official has a higher burden of proof in proving a, not the slander, but damages. Not that a slander or some type of action, defamation action took place. They've always attributed a very high standard of proof as to damages under the theory that a public official has a forum in which to speak back to whatever the slanderous words are. There's a lot of famous cases. Carol Burnett was a very famous case against the Star where she, I'm trying to think what the burden of proof was. It's not beyond a reasonable doubt, but it's not by a preponderance of the evidence. It's one of those intermediate ones that's pretty difficult to prove. That applies to public officials, and clearly the board's a public official. Mr. Buell's a public official. I'm a public official. I have a hard time proving damages in a defamation lawsuit. Our regular employees are not. They would have the burden of a preponderance of the evidence, more than likely what a court would rule. So we're talking about comments that I don't anticipate the audience is ever going to use in a public meeting regarding either myself or the our board, and clearly not our public employees. That's what I wanted to bring up, that there's a little different burden if you want to use the public forum for reasons other than giving what I would say fair public comment, you can find yourself in a little different burden. Again, the Brown Act specifically states that we can't enact rules that would prohibit public criticism of the policies, procedures, programs, or services of the agency or the acts or admissions of the legislative body. But it goes on to state, and this sort of addresses Keith's question, I think, nothing in this subdivision shall confer any privilege or protection of expression beyond that is what otherwise provided by law. So there's a whole lot of complicated issues in a public forum. The other one is privilege, which if people are really interested in it. I'll bring back the whole concept of privilege at public meetings, but it's a 3-week class in law school by itself.
Well, maybe we should hold that one until we see a great deal of interest up at the podium, perhaps. Mr. Buell, do you have something to comment on?
Just Mr. Swanson suggested that the delay was 4 to 8 months, and the way I'm looking at this, if the Coastal Commission on April 15th had authorized the project, had not determined the need for a de novo hearing, we would have started construction in July, and comparing that to our new expected timeline, which is uncertain because of the potential for litigation, that's why I'm suggesting that the delay is more on the order of 11 to 12 months.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. Additional public comment?
Steve Sawyer, Los Osos. I appreciate the report from District Council. I wasn't sure, was that just an oral report or was that a written report as well? If it's a written report, I might like to get a copy of it. It was just oral? Okay.
I have handwritten notes, but...
Okay. I'm glad we got that taken care of. It might help at some of our committee meetings especially. And just for clarification, those rules not only apply here, but they do apply at all your committee meetings, I'm assuming, since those do fall under the Brown Act. I'm wondering, when I brought this issue up at the last meeting, I was wondering if you could also maybe touch on when an employee might become a public person or something, because if somebody were that's an employee might step behind the podium and make comments or might join a committee and do public relations type of actions in the community, haven't they crossed that line and crossed that boundary and become a public figure? And I also brought up when I addressed this questions about the Brown Act and how open public comment is handled, not only at this meeting but at your committee meetings, specifically items that are discussed during agenda items but then are not allowed to be discussed during open public comment. I always thought the litmus test for that was whether a specific topic can actually have any action taken on it that day. And if it can't have action taken by the committee or the board, then it isn't an agendized item, and therefore it's a free-for-all for open public comment. You're allowed to talk about that. An example, just so you're clear, would be if we had an agendized item, and during that item we talked about, say, the governance issue, but there was no item on the agenda that directly was related to governance, and no action could be taken by the board or the committee in regards to recommendations on governance or changing governance, then that would be a non-agendized item, isn't that correct? And that item would be allowed to be discussed in open public comment. So I was wondering if, obviously not tonight we're going to hear this, but maybe at your next meeting we can hear a similar report that we heard tonight on that specific issue, non-agendized items that can be discussed during open public comment. Thank you.
Thank you. There were two, Mr. Seitz, there were two questions in there. One was when does an employee become a public figure, and then the other question about when is there an agendized versus non-agendized item. I don't know if you want to take either one of those two tonight.
I can take them both tonight.
Okay. Why don't we do that?
First of all, you've hit the real gray area. I mean, that's why you have lawyers on both sides. When does somebody transform themselves into a different category of person? There is no bright line test. There are 1,000 arguments, and I'm just not capable of taking hypothetical after hypothetical and say when is it what, when is it not. That's a jury decision, basically, not that it can't. What I'm telling you is that not that it can't happen, but it's not an issue that I could articulate with any degree of certainty as to when that occurs. As to the second item, the Brown Act is relatively clear on this. First of all, general comment is for items that are not on the agenda. So if you have an item that is on the agenda, that is when the board is to take comment on that item. Now the question becomes is what is the breadth of public comment if you have an item on the agenda? You know, that's why we have a chair. That's that call. We have rules that say that the public comment is limited to items that are not on the agenda. If the item is on the agenda and is for discussion by the Brown Act, that precludes discussion during public comment, because public comment is supposed to be on items that are not on the agenda but within the jurisdiction of the board. That's what it's supposed to allow. So, again, there isn't a bright line test. That's the chair's discretion is to run the meeting and to make those calls as to when those items occur. It's easier to do the example. Let's just say, for example, let's just put mine. Let's make it me. That way I don't have to worry about anybody else. My contract is on the agenda for renewal. Can someone come up during general public comment and talk whether or not you should approve my contract? Can that person be ruled out of order? Say that item is on the agenda, your comment will be taken at that time. The answer is yes, because it's an agendaed item, and that's the appropriate time for the board to hear that comment.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz. Any additional public comment?
Chris Alvey, Los Ozos. Referring to your chart that you just had up on the board there, your board, or at least three of its present members, were elected to this CSD strictly based on your opposition to the county sewer. I have all the campaign literature at home. This might seem like ancient history, whatever, but a lot of people were expecting better and felt sold out, and this is where your opposition's coming from. And you know, the people in the so-called opposition feel they have to do what they're doing, just like you feel you have to do what you're doing. So that's where it all started. That's where it all comes from. I like the public out there maybe doesn't know all that. I hope they're watching right now. That's all I've got.
Thank you. Next.
James T. Catch, Los Osos. Regarding the cost for the so-called delays, as was mentioned earlier, 76 of the conditions that you're redesigning and having to rebid for were carried over from the county's conditions for your permit. You're showing a figure of $766,000 for that and $600,000 for the new facilities. I'm assuming the $600,000 is for new facilities that were added by the Coastal Commission and were not part of the original county requirements. So let's assume that those weren't there and you got your coastal development permit back in April and there was no de novo hearing. I don't see how you could have proceeded to bid by July, since you would have still had to redesign for some of the 76 conditions that were required by the county, unless those were already included in your bid package that was ready to go to bid at that time. I don't believe they were, and if they were, please correct me. But that's what I'm not clear on. It seems to me that even if you got a coastal development permit in April, there would have been a time lag while you redesign. No?
Nope.
I see Mr. Beal shaking his head, so maybe you can answer that real quickly, and I'll go away. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tikash. Mr. Beal?
Yes, the all of the permit conditions that were incorporated into the coastal development permit issued by the Board of Supervisors were included in the bid package that we would otherwise have opened bids on April 28th.
Thank you, Mr. Beal. Any more public comment?
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I wanted to take the opportunity to address item one in oral administrative reports, receive report from LOCAC. I still haven't had closure on whether Shirley Bianchi has contacted Mr. Buell about the possibility of using the skate park as an amenity. It would involve some work, but I do think it's a win-win for our whole community, whether you're for or against the sewer. And I would like an answer as to whether it's going to be considered and if it could be an agenda item with some discussion. I would be glad to speak with Coastal Commission to find out if they were open to switching amenities for something the community actually needs. And then I would think that a lease on a portion of that property with Parks and Rec would take care of the land adjustments. So could I get an answer, please? Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Buell?
Supervisor Bianchi has not talked to me about that.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. First, I would like to, I wish, especially in the light of sort of the conversation coming up to the top about nitrates, I think it would have been prudent to have a representative from Cleath and Associates to discuss, or maybe in the future, we have an actual presentation on the quarterly nitrates, maybe not quarterly reports in front of the community, but a little more frequent. I don't believe that $5.6 million, $5.7 million is attributed to our work. I believe it's in some errors in the project. But I've been asking Mr. Buell, I've been pestering Mr. Miller. I haven't called Mr. Hyland, but I think when the project was submitted for its application of coastal development permit, it was at its 30% design. When it reached the Board of Supervisors in October, it was at a 50% design. In, I think it was March, somewhere between January and March, you had 100% design. From the 50% design approval at the Board of Supervisors to the 100% design, we saw a significant change. Significant to me is maybe insignificant to you, but it had a smaller dog park, you might recall that. The treatment facility, the treatment building itself, increased in size by 21 feet, adding 21 feet to an already 100-foot building in one direction. It added 6 feet in the northerly direction. And then I just learned, because I don't read these kinds of plans on a regular basis, I just learned that another value engineering cost-cutting saving measure was discarded somewhere in that time, that the soil that we were going to save $600,000 by keeping under the plant is now gone. So $600,000 is now added to the price. My point is, and then the building grew taller. So where is the money? How much have those changes cost? And when your estimate was given to the community in June of 2003 of $92 million, it had to have changed. And I've asked Mr. Buell and Mr. Miller, and they've done their best. Well, no, I think Mr. Buell could do better. But I would like to see a line item on those changes. And probably the most significant in expense is a security wave wall that could be a chain link fence at Andre.
Thank you, Mrs. Tagger. Mr. Buell?
Mr. President, your board's protocol is to have Cleith provide an update on your nitrate studies annually. They do produce an annual report that is more comprehensive than the quarterly reports. If you want Cleith to appear more frequently than that, please advise us and we'll make that arrangement. In regard to the changes in the project, we were well beyond the 50% when the Board of Supervisors approved the coastal development permit in October, and there were some changes that were made to the project between that point and the 100% design, but we did get a substantial compliance determination from staff that concurs that all design changes were consistent with the approved project. In regard to the value engineering, the speaker alleged that we ditched $600,000 worth of savings. That is categorically false. We were able to balance the soil and retain the low profile of the project. As I have advised the speaker, we stayed at the 75-foot elevation floor, and we did not need to lower that. We did not need to reduce the soil because we were able to balance that on site. Also, I've advised the speaker that the buildings are not taller. The final design has the same height of buildings as was approved by the Board of Supervisors in October 2003. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional public comment?
Hi, everybody. Lisa Schicker. I read that Coastal Commission list of approvals, and I disagree with what Mr. Buell just said. That's not what it says. It says a different height in the permit approval. Mr. Cleith's report, for the public's knowledge, has an average nitrate reading all around town of 11 milligrams per liter. Drinking water standard is 10. This is one of the biggest and most important things that we need to talk about. Where is the crisis? Where is the hurry? Let's publish this data and let's tell the public the truth. 11 milligrams per liter of nitrates, drinking water standard is 10. Where is that awful, awful nitrate problem that is rushing us to judgment on this terrible design? Now, the rest of my comments have to do with the finance spending and the bonds. We've asked for this before. All this talk tonight, it is so confusing to people. It really is. It's unnecessarily confusing. All this spin of the numbers, hashing it back and forth. Can't we just get a really clean breakdown of how much you've spent on the bonds so far? Can you just do a quick handout? That's the simplest chart I've seen so far, but you could do a better job on the bond spending. We want to know. We don't want to discover what we read in the paper and go, where did this come from? I had a long talk with the reporters today about these numbers, and it's still not clear to me how $768,000 are being used for only 7 remaining conditions that were not part of the original permit. How are 7 conditions costing $766,000? Give me a handout. Don't try to do it verbally. You're spinning tonight. It's too complicated. Give me a handout. It would really help. Give the board a handout, because you're just spinning the numbers around and no one knows what you're talking about. I also want to know, what were the successful meetings? I haven't had one question answered tonight, by the way. I want to know, what are the successful meetings in Sacramento about with the state revolving fund people? And I want to know, how much money can you borrow on my behalf without additional voting or permission? Does this project just go up and up and up, and you just keep borrowing money? You and the state revolving fund keep talking in Sacramento, and I don't get any say? We don't have any voting? We don't have any approval? Do we have an unlimited cap on this money? Or if we have a cap, I want to know that amount of money, and that should be a simple number. Mr. Buell mentioned something, $97 million at the wastewater meeting. I don't know what that means, and I want him to explain it to me and the public. So once again, let's try to simplify some things for the public. We're boring them to death with all the spin of numbers. We could simplify it, and we could help everybody out if they had an understanding. Don't make us dig for the information. Don't tell us to come into the office and dig through 500 pages of paper. We're working people. It's not right. It's a cat and mouse game. We're asking for better accountability. Thank you.
Thank you. Any answers to the various questions? I'm not sure it'll. Well, without something in writing, I'm not sure it'll.
Well, I don't know. We've gone over this before, but let's try it again. The current loan, state revolving fund loan authorization. Is $65.4 million. That's in all of your project reports. That's in all of your literature. The state is authorized to expend 1.5 times that without going back to the State Water Resources Control Board. So you do the mathematics, it's actually $98.1 million. I was up in Sacramento with President Gustafson last week. We had a meeting with Leo Sarmiento, Diana Messina, Darren Pohemus, and Cookie Hearn. We were locked in the room for about 2 hours, and what we were talking about is what is the appropriate mechanism for extension of the loan. Could it be done at the division level, or does it go to the state board? That was the discussion. They have asked the district to report back with a new cost estimate. That's part of what you authorized tonight with your work with Montgomery Watson Harza. We expect to bring that back to your board in November. You have a board meeting November 4. And we'll also, depending on the answer we get from the state as to whether or not we can do the extension, the approval of the loan at the division level or at the board level, we may need to bring back resolutions and seek specific board action on the amount of the loan. If that is the case, if the state determines we need to do that, we'll bring that back to your board at your December board meeting.
Relative to the money remaining in bonds, agenda item B shows that there's the possibility of selling an additional $2.45 million in bonds, which is part of the original approval mm-hmm. in the assessment vote in June of 2001. I think the other question was relative to the crisis and the nitrate question. I think the regional board has certainly gone into that at great length. Any additional public comment? I think the question was, what did the bond money, how much of the bond money has been spent? I think we've gone through that. Why don't we do it again, and perhaps, I know we've gone through this more than once. Do you have the list in front of you, or?
I do not, Mr. President. We cleared roughly $17.9 million out of the last issue. According to your audits, we've spent all but $3.1 million of that. So in other way, under other words, you've spent about $14.8 million. And it's all in your audits. But if your board wishes, I can bring that back to you as well.
Well, that question's come up a couple of times. Why don't you do that and bring that back for the next meeting?
Could I do that November 4? I'm going to run out of time between now and October.
That'll be fine. Do you have any additional public comment?
Good evening again. Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. It's kind of interesting in the legality of making comments. In the newspaper, it says that local officials blame the increase on delays they say were caused by project opponents. I don't think you can actually blame somebody for pointing out that this is a bad idea. We have strangers come into town that laugh in our face. Who in the hell would put their wastewater treatment plant next to their library, next to their, you know, this is absurd. And to make a statement to the paper that it's the opponents who caused the expense is pretty close to being a wrong statement. I think the blame should be at least partially shared by the people that decided we could avoid sprawl by putting it in town, or we could buy 80 acres of greenbelt with the people who have to pay for the sewers money. And the other thing is the question I didn't really understand the answer was, did the man who got 17 votes, is he paying 17 times the $220 a year on his taxes? And in this article also says the sewer will cost us $90 a month. Is that operation and maintenance cost? That sounds like it'd be about right for that to me. But this plus $250 annual payment, for payback, we're already paying $220 a month, and you're talking about borrowing over five times the amount of the 17.9, and you're going to have that come out at $1,300 a month or $250 a month. That's according to the paper, maybe. Maybe the guy that wrote the article is the same guy that said Bruce Buell is the president of the CSD. I don't know. I'd like some answers on a number, and also if it's really legal to start blaming people who are not really responsible for this extra cost.
Mr. Buell, there are a few comments, points in there that you might want to clear up.
Um, Mr. President, prior to the election on the assessment, we mailed out these cards to everybody. They're at this point, they're getting a little frayed, but they are helpful in trying to track the cost and the various classes of costs. There's three ongoing costs: the monthly repayment of the state revolving fund loan, the operating and maintenance cost, and the assessments for the bonds. Let's start with the bonds. Last 2 years, fiscal year 03-04 and 04-05, property owners were asked to pay roughly $221 per year towards amortizing the initial bond sales of 2002. What I was talking to the media about is if we issued the additional $2.45 million in bonds, that would increase the assessment cost for a single-family residence from about $221 per year up to around $250 a year. So that relates only to increasing the amount of the bond. That does not speak to the loan. In regard to the loan, when we issued these cards in 2001, we were anticipating that we would borrow something on the order of $65.4 million. And as a result, we were estimating the monthly cost on repayment of the loan at $58.56. What the press asked me, and I didn't give them the number that they're, I'm attributed to in the press, that's another part of being a public official is that you do get misquoted. But what I told the press is that if the construction of the project appreciates by some $4.8 million in hard costs, that instead of borrowing $65.4 million, we'd be borrowing something like $70 million. And they did their own mathematics in terms of computing the annual cost. So it all goes back to this card, and it all goes back to the three types of ongoing costs that the community will pay. And I think we all need to keep straight that the assessment repays the bond. It doesn't repay the loan, and the monthly charge that will be collected once people are hooked up will go towards paying both the loan, whatever we end up borrowing, and the operating and maintenance costs.
And somebody that had 17 votes will wind up paying 17 times. And I hope that's taken care of. Any additional public comment?
Hi, I'm Dave Gilliland, resident of Los Osos. When it first started, it was faster, cheaper, and it's gotten a lot more expensive than that faster, cheaper, that's for sure. And now, I mean, you say that we all voted to put it in the middle of town, and I didn't vote to put it in the middle of town, and I know a lot of people didn't vote to put it in the middle of town. And you keep saying that, well, we've all already voted. Well, what would it hurt for you to do it one last time to find out for sure everybody voted your way and to make sure? So that way you know that guaranteed, okay, look, here it is. Everyone did vote this way. They didn't vote to put it out of town. Of course, you knew from the beginning Andre property was not viable. There's no way. You knew those power lines ran through there. They've been there since, what, the 80s? You knew they were there. That there was no way we were going to put it on that property. So it was kind of not a lie, but a not a full truth, saying that there was a possibility of putting it on the Andre property. But the problem is now is we've spent so much money to put it in a field across the street from a church, a library, houses, instead of thinking of putting a big giant park for kids to have a football field, a baseball field, soccer, tennis mat, you know, everything that could go there. Instead, we want to put a sewer treatment plant there. which that's not really what we want there. I mean, you couldn't seriously want a sewer treat. If you lived across the street from there, is that where you'd want it? Seriously, Stan, seriously. You guys know, if you lived there, you wouldn't want it across the street from your house. And that whole neighborhood, and I live in that neighborhood. I own a home there. I don't want it in that neighborhood across the street from my neighborhood. But the biggest problem is we've already spent so much money to put it there that you're, the board, not willing to even see if that's really where our people want it. And our people is the Los Osos people. You're not willing to even take the chance that a vote would show you're wrong. That's part of the problem. That's what I see all these people coming in here arguing with you all the time. Not arguing, but discussing this. Is because you guys aren't willing to step back and say, maybe we made a mistake. Maybe. Not for sure, because you haven't taken a vote to check. But after you take the vote, November's coming. We're all going to be voting anyway. Let's vote on that. Let's put it to a vote and find out for sure. I know you're going to tell me, well, we voted on it in 2000. We voted then and voted on it there. Well, no, we didn't. Not the way you're saying we voted. Okay? So please, give us another chance.
Thank you. Additional public comment?
Dick Sargent, Los Osos. And I'm up here to say that I want everybody, before they go to bed, to be aware that there will be a real important occasion at the fire station. And that occasion will be on Thursday, September 30th. It'll be 1 o'clock. It's been 25 or more years that I've been been an employee of a fire department and a fireman. And I novel at the things I see. I'm on the emergency committee over there, and I feel like a raw rookie when I look at the fantastic equipment that we have, the precautions for all the problems that a fireman runs into. But even though I'm on the committee, I'm still curious about something. The chief's going to probably get upset with me. I want to see where those guys sleep. Now, when I was on the department, it was a dormitory. And all you guys that slept in barracks, remember how you treated the snorers? I am sure you would take piles of toilet paper rolls so that when the guy starts snoring, instead of running over, you just fling the toilet paper at him. And if he was a teeth grinder, you really had to throw him. Everybody would throw it. Those guys drive you crazy. Okay, here's why I'm going to ask the chief, see what he says. Chief, I want to see where these guys sleep in their private cubicles, and I have a suspicion it's because you give them so darn much paperwork that they got to have their own office. Can't have the real fun of us old-timers that we used to have. Now, let me say this again. This is a big, important badge-transferring ceremony, and the support of our fine firemen deserves your attendance. That is on Thursday, September 30th. At 1 p.m. at the fire station, and if you feel like you might not have a place for all you old folks, if you might not find a place to park in front, just signal somebody. They'll take you down, and you can park down in the back there, and where it's just about a few steps to get to the apparatus floor. Anyway, everybody, we're going to have a big time transferring to the CDF.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? Okay, I'll close public comment, bring it back to the board. We have a motion.
Motion to adopt the consent calendars?
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
Mrs. Vega?
Director Simonson?
Yes.
Vice President Hansley?
Yes.
Director LeGros?
Yes.
President Gustafson?
Yes. Directors and staff comments? Any director comments?
I have a request. Bruce, on future agenda items that have a subcommittee report, a subcommittee's looked at it, whether it's finance, wastewater, could you include the minutes in that portion, or at least a summary of, you know, I know you gave a verbal one tonight, but I'd like to see a summary of the vote and both the positive and the dissenting opinions.
Okay. I'd be happy to do that. I don't believe the minutes were completed from yesterday.
Okay.
So it would be in the form of a recommendation. I can write that up.
Okay.
Any additional?
I do.
Vice President Hensley.
I'm not running for office, but I have a plaque. Can we get that? I really don't understand the hurt feelings over this article. Now, I understand that the Telegram Tribune isn't the best news source in the world. when this came out today, I've had phone calls and visits from about 10 people who thought that this was a pretty good article. And I'm not arguing one way or another whether it is or isn't. But I am in the business of arguing over projects, and you just can't have it both ways. It's your democratic right to do the appeals, to comment, to be involved. And, you know, that's great. I do it all the time. I encourage people. The delays are how it plays out in the process. And it's really less about blame than it is about the reality of speaking out in a public forum in this process. It is your right, but it's our neighbors and our community that are paying for the delays. And we've heard a lot of criticism in the past about no one's listening to us. Well, the changes and the conditions that were added, you can be assured that your concerns were heard. In fact, you've had over $9 million worth of success. But you must step up and say, yeah, it was worth that. That's what you were doing, because that is what you were doing. Thank you.
Any additional board comment? Director LeGros.
Yes, this evening I have two comments. As you know, this evening Mrs. Bowker is not here, and she asked me to relay these thoughts to the board and to the staff and to the community at large, thoughts that I also agree with. Mrs. Bowker wanted to tell the staff, its consultants, and all its supporters how proud she is of their performance over not only the whole project, but specifically since the April 15th meeting, to get the work that had to be done at the Coastal Commission schedule to move this project forward. I'm very proud of that as well, and I believe you have done a wonderful, wonderful job, very professional, and all in the best interest for this community. I know she would have been here at the last meeting to say those things, but she was not able to. My second comment this evening is in regards to the cost escalation of this project. As an architect, I can say full well that we have, as a community, have missed the window of opportunity to bring this project in at lower rates. The inflation rate in the last year has been absolutely mind-boggling. I am not looking forward to the bid opening sometime later this year or early next year. That being said, I'm not one who wants to assign blame one way or the other. I don't think it's constructive. I have my feelings about this issue, but they don't matter. What does matter to me, though, is that at this point in time, as a community, we accept the fact that the project is going to be an expensive one, and we should be doing everything possible to bring this project to fruition as quickly and as inexpensively as possible. It takes a lot of hard work. At this point, we will be having our development permit issued. There are no more discretionary approvals, which we have to go through. Staff, Coastal Commission staff, has been directed to issue the permit once we complete these five items, which this evening we are now commencing to do. It will be to everybody's benefit at this time is if we can agree that the project is going to happen and to get on with this as quickly and as painlessly as possible. I look forward to working with everybody on this. I rededicate myself to bringing this project to fruition, and that's really all I have to say tonight. Thank you.
Staff comments?
Oh, just agenda and scheduling when you're ready, Mr. President.
Okay.
I wanted to thank Dick Sargent. I don't think I could have said it any better in regard to September 30. You do have a special meeting at 1 p.m. at the South Bay Fire Department. It is a major milestone for the community. South Bay Fire Department is going to be CDF Station 15. And I think those who can join us to observe the transition should do so. Your next regular board meeting will be October 7th here at 7 p.m. in the South Bay Community Center.
Motion to adjourn.
I made it.
Third second. All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.